us turn our hearts now to God as I pray a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Lord God, we're grateful that we can come before you in worship this morning, and we are grateful for this season of Epiphany, this time when we reflect on how you have brought your Son into this world to give us revelation, to guide us on the paths of our lives, to bring us salvation. So this morning, as we attend to your word to us in Scripture, as we read again from the Gospel of Mark, we pray for your blessing. Send your Holy Spirit to each and every one of us, O God, that as we read your word and as we consider it, as I share my reflections and as each of us consider your word in our hearts, we pray that we would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, hear you speaking to us this morning, living words that would bring us to new life. So all of this we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 29 through 39. Listen now for God's holy word. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for this is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Our passage for this morning comes right on the heels of our passage from last week. Last week we read and considered the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry as it began here in the village of Capernaum. In that story, Jesus entered the village's synagogue on the Sabbath, and he made a splash. He taught with authority, and he cast out an unclean spirit. We are told that at the end of this episode, everyone who was there was amazed, and that Jesus' fame began to grow throughout the whole region. And that all makes sense. God's Son has come to earth, and for the first time, people are able to see something of the salvation, the healing, the grace that God is activating in the world through God's Son. And it would make sense that the word would spread quickly. That all makes sense. But what happens next is harder to comprehend. What we would expect, or what I would expect, is that immediately following Jesus' performance that day in the synagogue where he taught and cast out a demon, what I would expect is that immediately a crowd would have formed, that people would seek out and find Jesus wherever he went or wherever he was staying. What I would have expected is that no one would wait, not even for a second. No one would wait, but they would go immediately to Jesus so that they too could be healed, so that they too could have their demons exorcised, so that they too could bring their loved ones before Jesus to have them touch their hands and their legs and their eyes and their ears and their hearts and their souls, so that Jesus' power, the power of God who made this world and who loves this world, could heal them and make them whole again. What I would have expected is that as soon as it became clear that God's healing power was there in this world, that people wouldn't wait, not even for a second. But that is not what we see happening in this story. Instead, for some reason, God's people waited. They waited. It is clear from our text in Mark chapter 1 that the people there that day, they didn't follow Jesus out of the synagogue that day. They didn't immediately flock to where he was staying. They didn't gather outside the door and knock so that the door could be opened unto them. Instead, they waited. They waited. Mark tells us that it wasn't until sundown, presumably hours and hours after Jesus had left that synagogue, it wasn't until sundown until people finally came to see Jesus and to receive the grace that God had sent into the world through God's Son. People of God, they waited. The power of God was there to heal them, to make them whole again. It was there in their midst to cast out the evil that troubled them in their lives. It was in their town. It was there ready for them. And they waited. Why? Why did these people wait? Why did they not immediately flock to Jesus? Why did they not immediately seek the healing and the freedom that he had come to bring them? Why did they wait even for a second? Well, the answer is all about religious misunderstandings. For centuries, for thousands of years, God's people had misunderstood God's priorities. For centuries and for thousands of years, God's people had worked to understand what it meant to keep one special day each week, the Sabbath, what it meant to keep that day holy. For centuries and for thousands of years, rabbis and teachers of the law, people like me, ministers of God's word, they tried to understand and to teach God's people what God cared about most when it came to this commandment to honor the Sabbath. And for centuries, for thousands of years, we teachers of the law, we had gotten it wrong. For thousands of years, we had taught and commanded our misunderstandings that what God cared about most when it came to the Sabbath was rest. Resting from everything and anything, even, it seems, from receiving the healing that God had sent into the world through God's own Son. That day in Capernaum, when Jesus entered the synagogue, it was a Sabbath day, a special day, which would end at sundown. And that Sabbath in Capernaum, God's people knew, they knew that God's healing power had come into their world. It was in their very own town. And so, guided by their misunderstandings, they waited. Misinformed and misled by their religious ideas, they waited. People of God, sometimes our religious convictions and our religious ideas, our beliefs and what we have been taught about God, our religiosity, it can keep us waiting too. It can keep us waiting, rather than rushing to God to receive the healing and the restoration and the freedom that Jesus has come into our world to bring us. People of God, the gospel is clear. Jesus came into this world to bring us healing. He came to take our broken hearts and to mend them back together again. He came to us. We who are possessed and jerked around by all kinds of evil in this world, he came to bring us freedom and liberation from all of those evil powers. Jesus came to bring us freedom from everything that might hold us back. People of God, the gospel is very clear. Jesus came to bring us freedom from our sins, to lift that burden from our shoulders. He came to bring us healing for those of us who are hobbled by our fears, for those of us who are crippled by our doubts, for those of us who have been made mute because of the shouts and the demands for silence from others, to those of us who have had our ears deafened and who are unable to hear clearly the sounds of God's loving words, to those of us whose arms no longer know to reach out for God's embrace of love, for those of us whose legs have become weak and who are not able to carry ourselves into God's courts, for those of us whose eyes have been darkened and blinded by the bright lights of this world, Jesus came to heal us, to bring us restoration. He came to us, we who are weak, to make us strong again. He came to us, we who are crippled by our fears and our doubts, to make us bold and courageous. Jesus came to us, we who had been made mute, to give us back our voices so that we can sing and pray and speak words of truth and words of praise. Jesus came to take us who have been made deaf and to help us hear again, to maybe hear for the first time of the full truth of God's love for us. Jesus came to us, we who have been blinded. He came to heal us and to give us back our spiritual sight. People of God, Jesus came to do all of this. And on that first day, That first Sabbath day, when the whole village of Capernaum had believed and heard that Jesus had come to bring healing, they waited for hours and hours before they went to find Jesus, to seek the freedom and the healing that Jesus had come to bring into this world. So it is for us. So it is for us, people of God, and for our loved ones and for the people in this world around us, that for many and various reasons we have been told and taught, we have some come to assume or we have come to believe misunderstandings about God's invitation to healing. We have come to believe that if we want the healing that Jesus has to offer, there are rules we have to follow and limits that are to be observed and hindrances in place before we are allowed to come. So it is for us that for many and various reasons, rather than coming right to Jesus, not waiting even for a second for the healing that he has come to bring, we are left to believe that we aren't welcomed yet, that we should or that we must wait. That day, God's people waited. In a bizarre spectacle, they waited so that they wouldn't offend God by receiving the healing that God had sent into their world for them to receive. People of God, there are times when we do the same thing. There are times when we get the idea, when we come to believe that God doesn't want to see us yet. We come to think that if we haven't prayed in a while, or if we haven't gone to church in a while, that God must be upset with us, and that God doesn't want to hear from us or see us. And so we wait. Or we've been taught, or we've come to believe that God doesn't like our particular kind of weakness or our particular kinds of sins. And so we stay away from God and we try to deal with our sins on our own. My sins are my sins, we tell ourselves. They're not God's, they're mine. So when I get them under control, then I can be close to God, we tell ourselves. And we come to believe we are supposed to heal ourselves. And rather than coming to our Savior for healing, we wait. Or maybe we've been told that God doesn't approve of people like us because of our sexual orientation or our gender identity or for some other reason of our identity. And we don't want to offend God or upset by God by getting too close. And so we stay away. We stay away from our Savior so as to not upset him. And so we wait. We get it in our heads that certain mistakes that we have made or problems that we have or things that have been done to us are so bad that we're not welcomed in God's presence. We don't want to sully God's house with the baggage we carry. And so rather than rushing to the healing touch of our Savior, rather than coming to him now in this moment, we keep our distance, we keep our space, and we wait. That Sabbath day in Capernaum, that holy and special day in Capernaum, Jesus must have sat there in the house where he was staying, and he must have wondered where everybody was. For hours, the people waited because they believed. They believed that because they had been taught something that was well-intentioned, something that sounded right, something that sounded godly, but something that was wrong. They had been told that God didn't want them to travel on the Sabbath, and so they believed it would anger God if they traveled to their Savior. They had been told that God didn't want people to carry anything on the Sabbath, so they believed it would anger God if they carried their pain and their sins and their needs to their Savior. They didn't want to upset God by helping carry their brothers and their sisters to the feet of God's own Son. They had been told that God didn't like people to do work on the Sabbath, and so they didn't want to make God upset by making Jesus do the work that he had been sent to do in this world. All of this, in a certain way, sounded right and good. But people of God, clearly it was wrong. It was founded in a misunderstanding. People of God, the gospel is pretty clear. God wants us to be healed. God wants us to be forgiven. God wants us to be restored. God wants to make us free. Any day, even the Sabbath, especially today. People of God, we who have been waiting, We who have been waiting to come to the feet of our Savior, no matter the reason, God tells us today, wait no longer. Come and meet your Savior and receive the healing that he has come to.